Well, good morning. We really appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate Justin and Tiffany coming up here and reading for us this morning. And that's an important opportunity for us in the church. We are so grateful when you're able to do that, and we thank you for that. And I tell you, when we first attended here at Trinity and Pastor Steve had asked us to do that, I thought, what is he? You don't even know me. And you want us to do that. What if we say something bad about you? What are you going to do then? Just kidding. We can have a good time in the Lord. Amen. Well, listen, don't you enjoy moving that clock around twice a year? Isn't that a fun time? You go around the house, you get the chance to change it here and change it there. And if you're like me, you probably miss one, miss two, or wherever it is around the house. And, you know, if you're like my wife, she likes everything in sync. She may go around the house and make sure everything's in sync and make sure that if it says it's 6:45, it needs to be 6:45 everywhere else in the house. You don't have different time zones in your house, do you? No, you don't. The answer is no. So everything is there. But don't you wish the weather would catch up with the clock? Right? It's going to be a little chilly. I'm a little hot back there. I see you. But listen, we are glad to have you here this morning. And God's got something good for us this morning. And as we've been talking about the area and of our Spark Journal and the area of prayer, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about that and the fact that it's talking about two or three, right? We want to talk about what it means to be in unison together. What does it mean to be all together? What does it mean to be on the same page? And this morning, I got a question for you. What exactly does it mean to be all together? Is that us this morning? Is that you? We're in the same room. Is that all together? How about if you're in the same house? Does that mean that you're all together? How about if you're riding to somewhere in the car? Are you all together? Maybe you're having a really special dinner with a family or maybe with another significant other. Is that together? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me, being together? Well, this morning we want to find ourselves and to try to define that throughout the sermon. If you listen, you may already have the answer. For those of you that may be a walking dictionary, you may already have it. And for those of you like me that takes weeks for it to really kind of settle in this thick skull, it'll come later. But at the end of the day, we really want to try to figure out what does it mean to be all together. And so, if I can just kind of take the opportunity to do a brief interview. Can I do that this morning? I won't. If you don't have the answer, don't worry about it. There's no perfect answer. I just ask you a simple question. The question is going. I'll even give. This is an open book test. The question is this: who is your best friend? With the exception of God, I don't want a churchy answer. All right. I don't need that this morning. God doesn't need that this morning. We just want truth this morning. It's just a fun game here. So who's your best friend?
I have four of them.
You got four. Name me one.
One of my good friends is Matt.
Matt. We always got an overachiever in the group, okay? All right? Matt. All right. Yeah. Well, is Matt here? Is Matt watching? Does Matt know this? Or does the other three know this? Best friend?
Brian.
You got a best friend?
My mom.
Give her a hand. Where is mom? She's not here. The time that you blow everything up, she's not here to see it. If you're watching, Amy, she said you. All right, you got a best friend?
Oh, my mom.
Your mom? Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. It's fun when you can do that in the family. Hey, you're laughing. What's your best friend's name?
Nicole.
All right. Excellent. Man. I thought through this whole process that I would really kind of strike out, but you guys are ruining everything. So, Joey, you got a best friend?
Yeah.
What's his name or her name?
My dad.
Your dad. You guys are all mushy and sentimental this morning. I can't preach. Where's Pastor Steve at? Come on. Dan, you got a best friend?
Pastor Tony. Oh.
I said let's not get churchy. All right? All right, best friend?
George.
Let me go back here. You got a best friend?
Heather.
Heather. Is Heather here this morning? Right here. She's there. All right. Well, listen, the book is closed. The test is over. everybody passes this morning. All right? But listen, the point this morning is that surprisingly to me, I was impressed, that you were able to name a best friend. So now the question becomes this morning is, all together now, you have a best friend that you can identify with, and for some it was a family member, and for some it was another individual that's not here this morning. Maybe you attend school with them, maybe you work with them, maybe you live in the same neighborhood with them. Whatever it may be, you have somebody that's a best friend, labeled best friend this morning. Which is good because, you know, sometimes as we walk along in life, we've got to have somebody to walk along with us. Amen? But, you know, God does not intentionally want us to be alone and kind of in our own little cubicle, whether it be at work or whether it be at school, just kind of hanging out by ourselves at lunch or whatever it may be. We're not built that way. We're just not built that way. You know, have you ever gone to a restaurant with a group of people, and what do you say when you go up to the hostess and you go up there and you say, we're all together. We're all together. As I travel and I go out of town and I go to restaurants, I try to do the best I can, Dan, and I know you do too, is to stay away from the fast food restaurants when you travel. So you go to this restaurant and you walk in and you see the hostess, and the hostess is trained to ask you questions, right? They're trained properly, and they say, well, for how many? And I awkwardly say, just me, just one. And there's been times I've been able to look back in their face because I know the expectation is that there's more people coming. That's not the case with me. When I travel, it's just me. So I say just me, and they just kind of, you know, look at me shocked, and they just go back and sit me down. And have you ever seen the movie Santa Claus by chance? It's Tim Allen. You know, it's a funny movie, right? I have the trilogy. If you want to borrow it, just let me know. But in that part of Tim Allen, you know, he's separated, and so he's got the boy for the holiday time, and he goes to cook the turkey, and he burns the turkey, and so he goes to drive around. You know, it's Christmas Eve. He's trying to figure out, nothing's open on Christmas Eve, right? So he goes and he finds Denny's. Denny's is open Christmas Eve. So he goes in the Denny's and he sits at the table and he looks around the room, and what does he see? A mirror of what's at his table. And he's all alone, but he's really not all alone, is he? He's got others within the room that are in the same position as he is, and he's taking care of his family. And he finds himself really just looking around, recognizing that, in fact, he's not alone. There's other people in the world that are just like him in the circumstance. And so for you and I, as we look around, we're not all alone. We look around and we think, man, it's just me, but it's not just me. There's others around. We just don't know who they are. We're just maybe not in the same room with them. Maybe we're not traveling in the same car with them or eating at the same restaurant with them. Matter of fact, we may not even live with them. But there are people in the world that are just like you and I. And we look at ourselves and we may think spiritually that we're really struggling, that we really can't get to where we need to get to, and I'm really battling with something, and man, it must be just me. But I thought that we heard a testimony recently, if it wasn't last week, I believe it was, correct? Where a lady stood up here in the front and made that simple comment that she thought it was just her that struggled spiritually. Only to find out once she got plugged into Life Group that wasn't the case. That she recognized that there were other people struggling spiritually just as she was. Which allows the opportunity for what? For us to encourage one another. Why do you think we gather on Sundays? It's not to drink the fancy coffee we have in the room. It's not to see Pastor Caleb every Sunday, though it may be. Good looking young man here. Very eloquent. But why do we come on Sunday mornings? We come because we come, we're scripturally sound. We come to gather together and to encourage one another and to learn more about God. And what would he have to say to us? Well, this morning, if you got your Bibles with you, I suspect you do. If you don't, we'd love to give you one in the pew in front of you. There should be a nice Bible in there, brand new, probably never been opened, may have been opened very few times. But in any case, if you need one, take one. It is free. You are no longer stealing. You are actually taking it as a gift this morning. And take it home with you if you need one. Please do, or borrow it here this morning. If you got it, let's go to Matthew chapter 18 this morning, and we're going to read verses 19 through 20. It's going to be our text this morning. We're going to start right there, and we're going to learn a little bit more about what it is about two or three in the Scripture. So Matthew 18, 19 through 20. And we'll read it together this morning, coming out of the NIV today. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them. Wow. I'm just doing a quick count here this morning, maybe 180 in this room. There's more than two or three. Last time I did math, I'm not a genius at math, and I would need to get Stephen up here to help me do that calculation. But I believe that we're above two or three this morning. So why is that so significant in the Bible this morning? Well, let's travel through Scripture. I want to, first of all, I don't have this back there for you, Alan, but first of all, I want to start out with creation. All right, with creation. God created Adam. Adam's hanging out, right? Hanging out and just doing his own thing. And God looks down and recognizes, you know what? It's just not good for him to be alone. So how about we just create somebody and we'll make a partner for him, okay? So we're going to go ahead and do that. And up comes Eve one morning, wakes up at the breakfast table, and there's another person looking at him face to face. And there she is, right? So all of a sudden, now we have two people that God has created. Have you ever wondered why God had to create male and female? If he created man out of the dust and he created a woman out of the rib of a man, why couldn't he just create all of population? Just a theological question for you this morning. I don't have the answer. But we got two people starting all of creation for humanity. Two. Why is this so important? Well, I want to tell you something else too. I don't know if you've ever been to court. If you had to go to court before, you understand this, is that you have to go through a bunch of witnesses before you to prove either you're guilty or that you're innocent. I had a family member several years ago that was in a situation that required them to be in a courthouse, and I was asked to come in and be a character witness. And I thought, why do you need me to be a character witness? Don't they know who you are? They don't know who you are. So you go to the courtroom and you go through the process and they ask you a series of questions in front of others. Do you know this individual? Yes. Can you name them? Yes. Can you point them out in the courtroom? Yes. Do you trust them? Yes. And you go through a series of questions briefly, not an extensive amount, but they're looking for a witness to validate an individual. So in the Old Testament, it's no strange feat that they're asking for two or three witnesses to anything. So if we got Exodus 17, I'm going to start there here this morning. And listen, don't look up all these scriptures this morning. We're going to have them up on the screen. Just save your breath this morning. I don't want you to overdo it today. So 17, and we're going to start at chapter 17, verse 8. And it just simply reads like this. This is really bringing in the story of Moses. And Joseph is going out to, or sorry, Joshua is going out to fight the Amalekites. And it says the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it up under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Could you imagine watching the sporting event today? And your favorite team's on the other side, and you're battling your rivalry. You know, it's the Bears and the Packers game. It's a classic. And all of a sudden, it's all depending on you if your team's going to win on how long you can hold your hands up, folks. That's a lot of commercials. That's a lot of commercials. But can you imagine the scene? You've got Moses up on the hilltop, and he's standing there looking down upon the battle that's taking place. And we got the battle of the century taking place at the bottom of the hill. The Amalekites have come in. They'll be a long time foe of the Israelites. The Amalekites come in, and they're doing battle. And man, what's Joshua doing? He's bound there doing battle. Don't you know if he understands the importance of what Moses is doing up on the hill, he has to be looking out of the corner of his eye. Does he have his staff up? Is he holding it up for us today? And can you imagine the scene of Moses when he's looking down upon the hill, and when he's getting so tired he can't hold the staff up any longer, and his arms begin to fade away as the strength is going away from him. And as he looks down, and the Amalekites begin to push further and further the other direction. And all of a sudden, he gains the strength and musters it up to hold the staff back up. And all of a sudden, the Israelites begin to push back forward on the Amalekites. It's a back and forth match. The greatest basketball game you've ever seen. But there's a point to Moses' limit of his strength. And he can't hold the staff up any longer. Aaron from the sideline looks back. He looks down. He's the team manager. He says, oh my word, the head coach is not able to hold his staff up. We must go do something. So he brings Hur with him. They go up there. And you think your seat's uncomfortable right now? How about sitting on a rock like Moses did? And they bring a rock up there and they set him down on the rock and he's sitting there and they got one on each side and they're holding his arms up so that they can win the battle. Because the battle was not necessarily on the field, though it was taking place down there in the valley. But as long as Moses was holding up his rod, they were winning. Because what is it? What made the difference down below for what took place up top? Because the battle was just not in the flesh, the battle was spiritual. See, that's for us today. The battle is just not in our flesh. Because if it was just relying upon your flesh and my flesh and your strength and my strength, we're going to fail. I don't care how good of a shape you are. If you're running the marathon after marathon, if you're bench pressing four times your body weight, whatever the case may be, you're going to run out of strength. We just don't have enough in us, folks. We're able to do some miraculous things physically. We're able, those folks that can run marathons, amen to you. I could not do it. For those of you that are able to do the triathlons, amen to you. I could not do it. They say, yeah, you could. You just got to train. You just got to do all the discipline. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'll just be frank with you. But you're going to have a limit. Even those that are in their top tip shape have a limit. But when they saw that Moses' limit had almost come to the line, and they said, you know what, we got to go help him. And so they rush up the hill and they hold his hands up high because the victory is the Lord's. And for you and I this morning, the victory is the Lord's. And that's why it's important for two or three together. As you go along through the Old Testament, we'll not travel through there scripturally up on the screen here this morning, but take it for your own reading. If you'll read in the Exodus, you get into Numbers, you get into Deuteronomy, and you begin to understand the importance of two or three witnesses when it comes into a judicial situation in the Old Testament. For you could not do anything to anybody with just one witness. Scripture says you got to have two or three witnesses, two or three witnesses, two or three witnesses, two or three witnesses. We come into the New Testament. Jesus refers to what's in the Old Testament. You say two or three witnesses, two or three witnesses. You get in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses that come to testify about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, two or three is a very important number in Scripture. You cannot be condemned upon just one person. You can only be condemned upon two or three witnesses. And boy, if you're ever a false one, you're in trouble. It's important for us to have a friend that can walk with us, that can visit with us, that we can speak to when things are going bad. It is so important, folks. We're all going to have the battle. And when we come to the battle, we got to have a plan. Now, when the battle happens, I understand it's not easy just to sit down and let me just give you my tablet and you can just put on there a four-point plan, a battle plan real quick for the victory. Because sometimes, folks, when we get hit with the battle, we're not expecting it. It's a blindside. When we're hit with the battle, we're like, man, Lord, I didn't see that one coming. What are we going to do? And so we begin to pray. Let me not dismiss this morning. Please do not dismiss this morning the importance of solitude as well, okay? There is a time that we got to hop in our prayer closet. If you were here last Sunday night, you know what that means? You got to hop in your prayer closet, and you got to be alone, and you got to be intimate, and you got to be fervent, and you just got to be wide open with your situation with the Lord, and only that can be done in private. I get it. But there are many times, folks, that we need somebody to come alongside us at some point in time in that battle and grab us by the hand and hold ourselves up when we can't hold ourselves up and be able to help us to make it through. Because it's a long road. Let me tell you this morning, it's not going to be no quick and easy road. It's going to be a long road. Now, I can give you that this morning. I can tell you this morning that the Amalekites were a tough battle. But I can tell you this morning, because we can look back in Scripture and know that the Israelites won. Why'd they win? Because they had people that knew to recognize what the fight was. It wasn't just a physical fight that was down in the valley, but that it was a spiritual fight up on the hillside that was important, because everything that happened up there affected there. Everything in our prayer life that happens can affect our physical life. We need to get up on the hillside, sit on a very uncomfortable rock sometimes, and we've got to be able to hold our hand up when things are not good and recognize that it is not just a physical battle. It is circumstances that may have happened, or maybe it's been allowed to happen. Dare that be. But maybe it's allowed to happen to teach us something, maybe even to discipline us in our spiritual walk. But let it be so that we need somebody to come along and hold our hand up high when we can't do it. Let it be so this morning, Lord. Helping us to come out with a game plan. Calling up on Him for the game plan. And then not only calling up on the Lord, when you get the game plan, how about sharing the game plan with some folks that can come along your side and pray that prayer of your battle plan for your battle. Because folks, there's a lot of times we can't jump in. We'd love to intercede. I would love to intercede in my kids' life every day that they struggle. I would love just to go and be at school and hang out with them, invisible of course, and be there to protect them every day. I would love when they go to college to hop into the college room and hop on campus and go to the dorm room. I would love to be there and to be able to tour every little thing that came their way. I would love to do that. When they get married, if they get married, I would love to be there to help them when things begin to get a little rough. I would love to be in the house and sitting at the dinner table when there's no conversations taking place. I would love to be there and to help assist. I would love to be there when my grandkids have difficulties and trials and tribulations, but I can't. But what I can do is this, I guess at the second best, if I can't be there invisibly, how about praying for them? How about the thought of me praying for their spouse to be, if there is to be one? How about praying for any grandkids that may be coming, if there are any grandkids to come? How about being willing to even unknowingly pray for them? That's the thing that we can do as well. They don't have to know. Pastor Caleb, I don't have to know that you're praying for me about my education. But we've talked enough about it that I know He is. I know He cares. And when you got friends like that, you don't have to say a lot of stuff, do you? They just kind of can look at you and tell something's not right. Same way with family members. You can look at family members and tell the same thing. You can identify because there's a relationship there. There is something that is in sync there. There is something that is synchronizing between your relationships that takes place. Let me tell you, if my Bluetooth earpiece does not sync up with my phone, I hear nothing. It is dead silent. And there's not a lot going on up here, folks. It gets pretty quiet. But if my phone syncs up, man, I can get a hold of some good music and I can just sit on that couch in that prayer room and just let the Holy Spirit speak to me. Because we're synced. And so what does it mean to be together? What does it mean for you and I to be together? Now, I'm not telling you this morning that's a big challenge today and that you've got to go out before you walk out the doors this morning, grab a hold of anybody here this morning. Go grab a hold of Linda. Say, I need you to be my other person this morning, because Linda's like, whoa, what's your name? What's your name? Let's pray for somebody. Let's pray that God would bring somebody in our lives. If we don't have that person that we can say this morning, I obviously did not go to every one of you, but let's pray that God supply us a person this morning in our lives if we have nobody, that we can walk along life's trials and tribulations, because they're happening. Several years ago in my own life, I was going through a difficult situation, and the Holy Spirit moved in my life. You know why he moved in my life? It wasn't because anything I was doing. It's because I had people praying for me. I had people who cared for me and loved me. And I didn't have to say a lot. But they just knew the struggle. And they knew the fight. And they knew that it wasn't just a physical fight. It was a spiritual fight. They knew the battle was more spiritual than physical. They knew the battle was not about Joshua down in the valley. Was his swords sharp enough? Was his men skilled enough? Was he great in number over the enemy? It wasn't about that. It was about the heel. It was about the heel. And I am grateful today that I have people that prayed for me when things got really difficult for me. And I'm glad that I had people that prayed for me unconditionally. Because remember, folks, it is mainly the spiritual battle that we're facing. Some of it we may put ourselves into. Some of it may be circumstances. Maybe some of it's just somebody else's. I'll be quiet. Mistake this morning. But in any case, we got to have that other person. So last Sunday evening, we had a great time here last Sunday evening, watching the movie called The War Room. And, you know, it's a movie. It's a good movie. It's a good movie about the practice of what it's important to, how the importance of praying for one another. It's an important view of the screen that gives you an idea what is it to have a prayer closet where you go and pray. The importance on the movie as well was identifying the purpose and unification of togetherness in praying for unity within a situation. Because where two or three are gathered, there I will be also. Who's that? That's the same one that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the same person who was up on the cross being crucified. That is the same person who was resurrected. That is the same person who's sitting at the right hand of the Father here today, interceding for you and I. That person. Now I'll get churchy on you this morning. That's the best friend we need. That's the best friend we need. Because he will not fail us. He will not let us down. He will not say things to us that we wonder, why'd you say that for? That really offended me. Of course, it may offend you. I don't know. We must be all together now. For us to make it in our spiritual walk, we've got to do that. And I want to challenge you here today, as we think about Aaron, we think about what his role was, we think about her, what their role was. They weren't Moses holding up the staff. They weren't Moses called to hold the staff. But what they were people that were called to help Moses so the people can have victory. Translate that to today. What does that look like today? Let's pray for our pastor today. Let's pray for Moses today, which is occurring today. I would call our pastor today. And let's be the Aaron and the Hur for him. And let's be the Aaron and Hur that lift up his hand so that we can maintain the victory. Because what we are doing here at Trinity is not something favorable to the enemy. It's not something that the enemy is looking at and saying, I agree with what you're doing there. Reaching people to equip people. I'm all for it. Let's do it. That's not the case. The battle is strong. Do not dismiss it. The battle is strong this morning. The enemy looks to do what? He looks for division. He looks to take unity and divide it up into fours if he needs to make it to where there's no power in it. He's looking for opportunities to divide your life and my life in order for there to be dysfunction within the body of Christ. And that is totally opposite from what the Lord Jesus has called us to do. He wants us to come together. For in Scripture says, they were not lacking in coming together and breaking bread together and praying together. That is what we do this morning. We have come together in unity to call upon the name of Jesus Christ, intercede, not just in our lives, but in the lives of the people around us. This is where we can connect as well. This is where we can connect with someone like a Linda and say, you know what? I don't see you throughout the week. You live way over in Wheaton. I live way down there in the south, over South Naperville or in Aurora. I know it's a long distance, but I tell you what, it's such a joy to see you every Sunday morning. And I'd love to connect with you sometime during the week. Growing, serving, and going. We're closed this morning. And I just want you to walk away with this. What does all together now look like for you? What does being together look like for you? Listen, we can be in the same room. We've had many dinners at the table where there's not a lot said. That doesn't mean you're together. It just means you have to be in the same room. What does it mean for you and I to be together? What does it mean for us to be together this morning? Let's stand. As the Lord prompts you, I don't know what He's going to do in your life, and I don't know what you've heard this morning. I don't know what He's spoken to you this morning. It probably has nothing to do with what's in here. It has everything to do with what's in here. But whatever the message was this morning that you heard, that He spoke, that you listened to, and that you obey, take that with you this morning. Take that with you this morning. Be encouraged today. Then know that the battle is not yours, but it's His. And know that when you're all alone and you can't hold up the staff, He will hold it up with you or send people to your side to help you to hold it with it. Listen, there's nothing better than when we can come together and share in victory. Amen? I mean, it's one thing when you know something privately and it's by yourself and you want to shout it. It's like, I wish I knew somebody who knew the situation I was in that I could share with them the victory I've had. But when we pull somebody in, they too get the benefit of seeing what God is doing in your life and experiencing. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this wonderful day. We thank you for Moses. Oh, he's had some times in his life where he wasn't the best role model. He wasn't totally obedient to you. But Father, you chose him to lead a people out of bondage into a land of freedom. Today, Jesus Christ is the one who leads us out of bondage into freedom. And today, Lord, we want Jesus to continue to be our best friend today. Father, we pray that as the morning progresses, as the week progresses, Lord, if we have no one in our lives, Lord, that it can be that person other than Jesus Christ, but we understand we need somebody in the physical sense, Lord, to come alongside us, walk with us, have sympathy with us, have empathy with us, but understand our situation, joining with us in prayer, in unity with the victory that's to be had. We pray for that this morning for those that are showed up here today, Lord, on this glorious day that we choose to worship you and coming together to encourage one another. And Lord, we pray for our pastor and Kaylee this morning. As Darren has already prayed for them today, Lord, we lift them up to you today. We pray that the Holy Spirit would empower them, encourage them, give them the strength to continue to be the shepherd of this church here at 1405 Raven Drive, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be with your people as they leave this place, Lord. May they be ambassadors for you. And Lord Jesus, we just love you today. We thank you for truth. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.